Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whoa, boss. How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, though, we're streaming not only on the Odyssey app, you can also stream us live on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Happy opening night.
Happy opening night to all that celebrate in the National Hockey League. My company, as he is each and every Tuesday, is the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. He's also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Shows. Show Saturday, 8 a.m. Central Time. You can also see him on VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on X at 1 Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy. Yes, it is. It's a great day.
You naggy now?
They had some sweet uniforms over the weekend.
Really. The blacks. The
black with the Aggie script. I enjoy those unis.
Yeah, I just always, Adidas always just goes with the same template. Like, I don't know, there's just not a lot of ingenuity, but they're apparently throwing around a ton of money right now. So good to all those that will get money. Speaking of which, Penn State will be getting some of that sweet Adidas money. We'll talk about whether or not they are indeed dead after this week. Want to get into who you think are title contenders, some teams you're curious about. And then I want to take a look at this playoff settings that we keep seeing right now, which I would be stunned, but let's talk through it. We'll get into our awards during the bottom part of the hour. We'll get into the list during hour number two. Joe Flacco got traded, and apparently, according to EPA per dropback, it will be an upgrade for his replacement, or who he is replacing. Also, more bad news in Chapel Bill. We'll get to a lot. We'll take a look at the lines earlier this week. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think I want to start here with you, Tim, because on Friday, George and I were talking, and almost the top 10 teams that we have been seeing losing throughout the country, for most of the part, it all kind of made sense. We only, I think, had two teams that lost thus far to unranked teams. One was Alabama losing to Florida State, and it turns out Florida State is a solid team. They're still ranked right now, but that's a solid team. And then I believe the only other unranked loss that we had. No, that was it. That's the only one so far that we had of a unranked team. Oh, no, beg your pardon. Virginia beating Florida State on the Friday night. That was another unranked. But now we've seen that Virginia is a solid football team. But we finally got some pure chaos. I do not think UCLA all of a sudden is going to turn it around and be a different football team. And I guess you could maybe hold out hope that Florida is what they were going to be, what many thought they would be billed as coming into the season. But I still think Florida's got losses coming. But I think the real question is like, all right, we love to proclaim early in college football that somebody's dead. You know, famously, everyone declared Notre Dame dead after the Northern Illinois loss last year. You know, I talked about it on the show. That wasn't true. It turned out not to be true. I still do not think Notre Dame's dead, despite the fact that they have two losses. They have two losses to the number three team in the country, that some people think is the number one team in the country, and then they have a loss to the, is A&M 5-6?
Yeah, A&M's 5, Miami's 2.
Correct. Potentially an SEC favorite in Texas A&M by a combined 4 points. So I still don't think Notre Dame's dead, but I do think there are some teams that I kind of want to discuss. Do we think Texas is dead?
I don't say that with the utmost confidence. Their schedule still has plenty of landmines out there, and they have two losses. One of them is to the number one team in the country on the road, and the other is obviously last weekend to Florida. If they win this weekend, and buddy, do we have to talk about that news today, then you look at Kentucky, Mississippi State, home to Vandy, at Georgia, Arkansas, A&M. If they go 9-3.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I think they even have a mulligan. So as long as we're on the same page, I think 9-3 Texas actually gets in.
I think they do, because they would have a win over Oklahoma and either Georgia or A&M. I think if they can go 5-1, no, 6-1, excuse me. Now, do I believe it will happen?
Right. That's
no.
A different question, though.
Yeah, but is Texas dead? Absolutely not. And to be honest, I imagine you're going to ask about Penn State. Penn State is now 6-1 to make the playoff. Do I think that Big Game James will find a way to win on the road at Ohio State? Hell no. But are they dead? No. Because if Penn State wins out, they're in with wins over Ohio State, Indiana, Nebraska, and Iowa. They would get in, but I have zero faith after what we saw this weekend at UCLA that they can run the table. But they're not dead yet.
Okay, so with Penn State, my question becomes, though, could they still be alive with just with a split over – they beat Indiana, because I think they get Indiana at home.
They do.
And then they lose – let's just say it's not embarrassing at Ohio State.
I think they would be out.
This is where I really want to see the strength of schedule metric.
Because they have – so Texas, and now you can make the argument Texas similarly to Penn State. Neither has a good win.
I believe it's correct right now. Neither has a Power 4 win.
No. Texas's wins are against San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston. Penn State has wins over FIU, Nevada, and Villanova. Neither has a Power 5 win. But I do think that if Texas goes 9-3, they would have wins over top 10 Oklahoma, top 10 Georgia, or Texas
or
A&M.
And
they would beat Vanderbilt, who's currently a top 25 team. Now, Vanderbilt could, in theory, fall off. We'll see how that ultimately plays out. Penn State, if they don't beat Ohio State, they'd have a win over Indiana. But Indiana is a touchdown underdog this weekend to Oregon. Indiana will be ranked when they play them on November 8th. But I think Texas.
Let me tell you one
that'll
be on the card this week.
You be riding with the Hoosiers or Quack Quack?
Quack Quack.
Maybe see if you can get a 7.
I'm waiting.
You might. A whole lot of love out there for the Fighting Cignettis.
I am waiting. That's a spot I love. It's a team going across the country, and then I don't think Indiana, when they match up with similar athletes, I don't think it goes well.
Kirk Cignetti at Indiana, small sample size, 12-4 ATS as a favorite. And 16-0 straight up, 0-2 straight up and against the spread as an underdog. Ohio State and Notre Dame last year.
Both road games.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I know this Indiana team's different. Okay.
They're better. I really believe they're better this year than they were last year. But I have not bet that game, and I'm probably not going to be on the Hoosiers, that's for sure.
I am waiting with you. Okay, so let's get to some of the other ones that I think are interesting. Okay. Are we sure Clemson's dead? Because I started, I want to be clear. Their only path is to be the ACC champion.
Correct.
And to your point, do I think that they're going to line up and beat Miami? No, I do not. But if you start to look at the ACC, and I know we've all gamed out Georgia Tech based on their schedule.
Who should have lost to Wake Forest 2 weeks ago.
Correct. Are we really in this spot where we believe that Georgia Tech, like, let's also be clear, without Haynes King, that team is incredibly gettable.
The tricky part is, now, if it gets convoluted and there are
Well, I was going to say, here's where it starts to get tricky. While Duke has two losses, they are neither are in conference play. Virginia Correct. Does not have a conference loss because that NC State game, despite the fact that they're charter members of the Atlantic Coast Conference, that game did not count for the conference standings. SMU's still kind of out there. Tech is out there. Clemson's out there. Florida State's out there. Like, I can just see where they start to get this jumbled mess, and all of a sudden, you look up and maybe Clemson's still alive.
The trick is that Clemson already has two ACC losses.
Right. I think they have to go undefeated.
And they need Georgia Tech to lose a bunch.
But see, in the scenario that I have in my head is a bunch of teams have two losses. I don't know if the head-to-head Tech would necessarily count.
Right. If in theory, like, Duke beats Georgia Tech
right.
and Clemson beats Duke, there. Yeah, I think there's scenarios where
– Or like NC State beats Tech.
Right.
Again,
I think they probably are, but I would say this. I think Clemson might be a bet-on team moving forward. Like, do we look at them to just dominate, you know, Boston College this weekend? Boston College is a disaster.
They're on quit watch, by the way. I got a lot of eyes on that one this weekend.
SMU, Duke. I mean, like, that Florida State-Clemson game on November 8th, that could be pretty fascinating. And where Clemson's at mindset-wise. Did they figure out something this weekend? Or
did they just play
UNC
North Carolina?
Just that bad, which...
Having watched the game, I lean to the... That said more about North Carolina. With that said, I was talking about it with a friend. It might have been good for Clemson to kind of just go on the road and throttle somebody to kind of get away from it all, whatnot. But I don't know if they flipped a switch. I think they just played North Carolina.
Super bummed out about the Hulu documentary.
Yeah, I know. That
sure was going
to
be.
I know we all had all of our appointment viewing ready to go. I think this is interesting. Does Florida State have to go undefeated the rest of the way?
So they have one loss now? No, they have two losses.
They have two losses because they have UVA and Miami. But credit to Norvell for knowing that it was a 60-minute game and doing his best to cover. They did, on paper, not get beat as badly as they did to your... Like, what I was actually interested in this week was most people treated that game like they didn't watch the fourth quarter, which I was glad, because if you did, you're like, these two teams are not the same. But I can see where on paper, hey, 6-point loss, they were one possession away. Like,
I bet Florida State, I turned the game off because I was like, this is toast. I was like, these are two. Malachi Toney, I mean, he catches a ball in the middle of the field and he starts running and no one can catch up with him.
Correct.
Like, it was just like a different gear. So your question is, I mean, if you're removing the possibility of Florida State winning the conference, which obviously gets them the auto, 9-3 Florida State is not getting in. Not with this schedule. Like, yes, the win over Alabama is very impressive, but if they lose to Clemson, I think they're toast. Now, if they win out, the win over Clemson could age well if they have figured something out. And who knows where Florida's at to wrap up the season. Have they done what they did last year? Did they do what they did last year and rally behind Sunbelt Billy and somehow put together some wins here? I'll say this about Florida. They didn't lose their first three games because of their defense. Their defense is legit. And if DJ Lagway can make plays like he did on Saturday, could be kind of a sneaky, decent team, and we'll see what they have in store this weekend in College Station.
Well, I think the real question for me is, did they find something, or did what they find was, oh, the big stud receiver that we needed, Dallas Wilson, who didn't play the first four games, all of a sudden he's there. Like, George can relate to this. I almost wonder if Dallas Wilson for Florida is what Trey Harris was last year for Ole Miss. Like, when he's in the lineup, that offense goes. But when he's not in the lineup, it gets ugly quickly.
I mean, Dallas Wilson had 6 for a 111. I mean, he was awesome. Like, I'm usually a little skeptical of a wide receiver making the difference, but they kind of made the difference.
Well, here's where I'll buy into it. On some of these teams where everyone's just so RPO and everything's so schemed up, and it's like, when they just have a cheat code to just throw it up to them, because that's kind of what they did. Like, all of a sudden, Lagway, like, if you would not have seen the previous 4 games and all you did was watch the Texas game, wouldn't that have lined up with everything that was said about Lagway all summer?
Yeah, for sure.
I still don't think I believe in them. Like, to like be the they get it together and
I just think
win enough games to save
him. The schedule's too hard, man. Like, right now you're looking at, okay, you've got A&M this week. Then you've got Mississippi State, which is not a layup anymore.
No, but they are getting banged up, and they did not have a lot of depth to begin with. Like, they now have, I think they're down at least 3 offensive linemen. Like, yeah, you saw that in the A&M game. Like,
yeah,
they just kind of ran
out of gas. But they have a bye week this week, and Florida's going to be on the road at A&M. So it's a decent spot to get Florida. And then Florida still has to play Georgia. They have to go on the road to Kentucky. Whatever you say about Kentucky, I know they're not great, but still, on the road to Kentucky's weird. At Ole Miss, home to Tennessee and Florida State. Like, if they pull this thing out of the fire and get to a bowl game, Sunbelt Billy might save his job again.
Well, that's kind of what's interesting is Strickland now, because of the Golden hire, and he got his contract extension, and basically they're beginning like your retirement plan where they gave him the 5-year deal, and then he becomes the AD emeritus, and he's going to pick a successor. So now that he's like fully safe, and now that he's not attached to Sunbelt Billy, I wonder if there really is a number. Like, it just feels like the fan base is so, like, there are legitimately like people that aren't like rooting against their Gators, but they're like confused as to how they felt on Saturday because they knew that win could, like, they're just done with him. And so do you offer up Sunbelt Billy to try to appease your fan base?
I mean, if there were betting odds on whether or not Billy Napier is the head coach of the Florida Gators next year, it is a massive favorite on the no, obviously. To your point, is there a path to him saving his job? I think if you're a Gator fan, the best thing working for you is the schedule. Because even if they've figured some things out, and there were people making the argument that Florida talent alone was a top 10 team entering this year. But based off of, like, I don't know if you follow Kelly Ford. He puts out power ratings on a weekly basis. And I think he said your average playoff team would have like 7.4 wins against Florida's schedule this year or something in that ballpark.
No, and I do acknowledge, because we talked about
lost to South Florida, and it's like, you can't, if you're trying to salvage your season, you can't lose to South Florida.
No, like, you just had to win the game by a point.
Right.
Like, and I still think part of the problem, though, is even when, like, they have a big moment and you want to start believing, like, he's giving a free timeout to Texas to get a play in. Like, and it's just like, it's consistently the fact that when you watch them play, you go, this team's not well coached. And that's just how you consistently feel. But here's the reason why I kind of want to discuss this, because I know we're all conditioned of, when it starts to look like this, you got to fire them. But I think this is where Florida is in an odd spot, but not as much as, let's say, Penn State is. So Penn State's in this, like, truly Blink-182 stay together for the kids. Like, neither party's happy. Franklin looks miserable. The fan base is miserable. But you're in this weird spot of, do we really want to stroke a $60 million check to get rid of him? And then if you're from the Franklin side, when everyone's like, well, if the right answer is we just want him to go find another job, if you're James Franklin, why would you take another job? You don't have another job that is going to be as good as the Penn State job, and they owe you $60 million. If they don't want you to be their coach anymore, I'm going, fine, pay me. And now you are in this whole idea of, okay, if you're Florida, and I think with Billy it's only $15 or $16 million, are you better off saying, let's just cut bait, start over? It's like, or are you better off whatever the money you would have raised, putting it back into the roster? Because to me, it just seems like this is a very easy calculus. If I've got that money, I'm spending it on the roster and I'm not worrying about my coaching staff. Because I use the example. Do you really think Joey McGuire is that much better of a coach this year than he was last year or any other year prior in his life?
No.
What's he got that's different this year?
Cash money.
Players. Amen.
I think it's a great point, but I think Florida fans would say, like in the movie Radio, both. I think they would, hey, could we have both pots of money? Fire Sunbelt Billy, bring in, let's say, I'm sure they would love Lane Kiffin. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not trying to make enemies. And then...
No, I mean, that's definitely who the fan base wants. Where I'm unclear as... Like, there are plenty of Ole Miss people to go, he's not leaving. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not saying that I think he is leaving, but I'm not in the predicting Lane Kiffin doesn't do something unexpected business.
Let me ask you this. Because my partner on VSiN, Matt Eumanns, continues to bring it up.
All right.
And I don't know the buyout. What we've seen in a season and a half from Kurt Cignetti, if you give him the proper resources, does he take Florida or an SEC program to the next level? Or is he the type of guy that just kind of works?
So I was talking with Giannotto. So Giannotto's working on the buyout story. And we were weirdly talking about this yesterday. First off, I think there's a legitimate question. Florida likes to talk about how much money they have, and I do think that they have wealthy alumni and a wealthy alumni base. But when it comes to putting it into the roster, there's not been a ton of proof in the show your work category. So I do have this legitimate question of, are we just certain every SEC job that was traditionally a great job, are we sure that that's just better? Because one thing that I see at Indiana is they're giving him everything he wants.
So he's got a couple things going for him, or Indiana's got some things going for him, right? He's getting paid very well. He's getting paid $8 million a year, which is very competitive. He's not, you know, making $2 million, right? He's getting competitively paid for a Power Four program that made the playoff.
$8.3 million is his base.
His buyout is manageable. $13 million is what I just grabbed on the internet. So you'd have to pay them $13 million for him to leave. He's also 64, and like he's probably like on the trajectory of getting a statue built for him in Bloomington. Like, he can do no wrong. But I guess on the flip side, to play both sides of the coin, he is 64. He's tasted the playoff, and when he got to the playoff, he said, whoa, that team's a lot better than my team, and I don't know if I could ever have a team like that. Build that at Florida.
I think there's also, though, let me play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate.
Okay.
There have been two people historically that have won at the University of Florida. One is Steve Spurrier, and the other is Urban Meyer. Two coaches that are considered, by all objective measures, truly elite coaches.
For sure.
Secondly, I wonder, when you have the Florida job, and Miami is maxing out with a billionaire that just wants his childhood friend to win a national title and bring the U back, and then you have another team in Florida State that is doing whatever they can to announce we are trying to get out of this league, and they seem to be spending on every credit card they can find. Is the Florida job as good as we think it is? Because it seems to me like those two schools are close to maxing out, and there's one thing I definitely know that's true. The state of Florida is over-recruited.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're, let me ask, all right, I think the Florida situation and many others is pretty fascinating because, okay, you fire Sunbelt Billy. What's the buyout, $16 million bucks?
Somewhere, it's like the 15, 16. I don't all think right. It's all due. I want to say maybe it's half or then in monthly installments, something like
if you
that.
Can, if you could tell Florida right now you get Lane Kiffin, you fire him tomorrow. I think that's a no-brainer, right? If you can get Lane Kiffin to go to Florida, you fire him tomorrow.
So the only hesitation I have with that is Florida's administration has been reluctant to do that. Now, they have a power vacuum right now. They were trying to hire the president from Michigan, and then there was a board of trustees member that basically took out another board of trustees member, and they nuked the president. So now they still have an interim president. And I don't know, like, I do know that in the previous regime, the Kiffin-ness of it all, they weren't in on. But I think now, probably, but it's still not clear.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, if you were told you're getting Lane Kiffin, you'll do that. What if you're told you can get Alex Golish, the South Florida coach, or, to your initial point, you could keep him and you get $16 million to spend on your roster. Like, this new age of NIL changes a lot of things when it comes to firing coaches because money doesn't grow on trees unless you're Texas Tech. You've got to kind of decide what you want to do. So, like, in theory, I don't know what Lane's buyout is. I'm sure it's not cheap.
No. To get him out, it's only like two or three.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Good work by his agent. Good God.
You'll never guess who it is.
The guy who has everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Sexton.
But like Cignetti, once again, I'm just throwing it out there. It'd be $16 million to fire Napier, $16 million to buy out Cignetti, or $13 million, whatever number I said. And then you got to buy out the staff. That's a lot of money, man.
I mean, you're talking about, and then to hire him, so it's not just 16, okay, then they're going to have to pay him, they're going to at least pay him 10. So then you're going to be paying him $10 million, you're going to pay all of his staff, you're buying out you're talking about like a $75 to $100 million decision, if not more.
And then you got to go back to those same people when the new coach comes in and you say, hey, remember all that money you spent to get me here and to fire the other guy? I need more money so we can get players.
I don't know, man. That's where I think, like, and I think Penn State's in the same spot where, like, they're clearly unhappy with him. And I get all this. It's like, you know, I'm not a big James Franklin fan. And so I thoroughly enjoyed Saturday. But I also...
I said this.
I mean, I'm not even playing to you because you're Notre Dame. I said this. It's one of the funniest losses I can ever remember.
Especially from a guy who just won't shut up. He's always complaining about
always covering up rape, multiple stops.
And then to go out to UCLA and face a team, I mean, and we can get to this on the other side with the awards, New Mexico.
Oh, we said this yesterday. The transitive property of Penn State right now is so freaking funny.
New Mexico ran for 300 yards on UCLA. They made UCLA quit.
And then New Mexico,
Penn State,
don't forget, New Mexico got run out of the building against San Jose State, who not only lost to Stanford, also lost to Central Michigan.
Yep.
Couldn't go into UCLA and do what New Mexico did.
But hey, we know how daunting the Rose Bowl is. The line, oh, let me see. I'm going to get it real quickly. This line just made me laugh out loud regarding Big Game James from my buddy Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame,
yeah.
He said, oh, come on. Let me get it quickly. He goes, does it count as a big game if it's just played at the Rose Bowl instead of the actual Rose Bowl? Asking for a friend.
I mean, I'm saying, like, it was just truly hilarious. And again, maybe Foster made a bad decision and he should have just given the job to Jerry Neuheisel at the beginning instead of going to Indiana and getting the non-play caller in Sunseri. Maybe they should have, like, maybe they just made a bad coordinator hire. But the reality was, Jerry was not calling plays on Monday. He got the job on Tuesday.
UCLA lost to not one, but two Mountain West teams. And neither one of those teams, in my opinion, are going to win the Mountain West, a conference that will not represent the G5 in the playoff this year. I mean, UCLA is 0-2 in the Mountain West and 1-1 in the Big Ten.
Like, we were talking about them going 0-12.
I know. I bet under 1.5 wins. I thought they would lose to Penn State. I thought maybe they'd beat Northwestern. Well, they covered against Northwestern, but then they beat Penn State as a 24.5-win underdog.
I can't wait for, like, UCLA to win, like, four games, and then Franklin's going to somehow start spinning that. Like, well, you know, when we played them, it's like, oh, my God, dude. Like, just let it go.
The preseason number one, number two, and number four teams on October 7th are not ranked.
I think this is actually going to be more the norm. I think it's going to be harder and harder to get a grip on what these teams are. And in the end, a lot of times you're like, it's...
Of those four that are, I mean, the only one that I could, if you had told me wouldn't be ranked and you was Texas, of the three, I'd say, okay, Texas, I kind of could see it. Because Clemson losing three games was not even close to my
radar. I would have said Penn State or Clemson from the A. I've never trusted Aller. But
you look at the schedule, I could have never told you they would. With that schedule, I told you there's two losses: Nevada, FIU, Villanova, Oregon, UCLA. There's no way.
I mean, probably not, but I mean, at the same time, we did think, I mean, you say it was worse than we thought. You know what I mean?
And their win total was like 3.5 or 4.5.
Yeah, but like there was still the idea of like, all right, maybe they go. Like, I don't know. Like, I could, two losses would have been out of the realm of possibility. But my thing with Clemson is like, we've been seeing Clemson lose to unranked teams the last 3 years. All I needed them to do was to lose to LSU, and then I could, I mean, they've struggled with Georgia Tech before.
Yeah, the Georgia Tech one's not stunning. The Penn State thing is wild to me.
I hate it for that guy. He's so easy to root for. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get into our weekly awards. We do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming up at the top of the next hour, we'll get into the list. We've had a big trade in the NFL, including, and we've also had some news that Tim referenced at the beginning of the show about John Mateer's status. We'll talk about that and more, but it's time to officially recap the weekend that was in college football. Tim, who was your Week 6 team of the week?
UCLA.
I think I agree. I'm open to the idea.
I think, well, can I just say this real quick? Because
who are some of your other nominees?
I mean, at some point we got to tip our cap to Miami, right?
Like, well, I mean, you know me. I have no problem. Like, I've been screaming, I feel like, since
Miami,
week one.
Now, once again, I think we...
Well, was it week
show.
Two or three where you and I were talked about is the team we trust the most, Miami, and we're like, this is disgusting, but yes.
Yes. And, like, we're at the point, Miami should be the number one team in the country.
I guess here's how I look at it. If you
and I know
are
it
a,
doesn't matter.
If
but
you're
like,
a resume ranker, I totally understand. They have the best resume. I guess the problem is, where I'm out is there's a lot of SEC people that are like, Ohio State, like that Texas win doesn't matter. And look, Texas stinks and all this is like, go watch Ohio State. They pop off the page as well.
Oh, I totally
and they're
agree.
The defending champions. So I know it's technically not supposed to matter, but it's like they're still the king.
I'm not I really don't care about the AP poll. So I'm being a bit hypocritical in this topic, but I think when you look at wins over South Florida, Notre Dame, Florida, and Florida State, you got to give them some credit for what they've done so far. Because guess what? If they're not number one now, when do they become number one? Because the rest of the schedule is pretty soft.
I mean, the only way they get to number one is, well, I think there's two scenarios.
Ohio State loses to Penn State.
There's two scenarios in my mind. Number one, an Ohio State loss. Which I would be surprised by until the Big Ten championship game. I guess I should leave room for Michigan getting better, and then they have to go to, like, that's clearly going to be a mental block, and that game's in Ann Arbor. So I guess an Ohio State loss. The only other possibility that I see is we've seen this the last few years when the selection committee comes out with their rankings. You can talk me into where they're number one there, and so then the AP poll will start to mirror what the selection committee did.
Yeah, and look, I'm fully aware these rankings really don't mean anything, but I could listen to Miami going on the road for the first time this year, hostile environment, the same venue that Alabama lost in by 2 touchdowns, and they controlled that game, and to your point in the opening segment, 6 points was not the differentiator in that game. It was a much wider margin for Miami. So I'll give it to UCLA because when you win as a 24.5-point underdog and you fire your offensive coordinator on Monday and you beat Penn State, you know, we can make all the Penn State jokes we want. That's still a team probably power rated in the top 10 for, you know, bettors out there. So I'll give it to UCLA, but I could listen to Miami. I could listen to Alabama. Look, Alabama wasn't perfect, but
no, I was thinking about doing the same because what we've seen with Alabama under DeBoer is they go and win a big emotional game and they have a letdown. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to flag them for this week because if they go, they've been very good at home under DeBoer. Like I think they're now like 8-2 against the spread. They're undefeated at home. And I still think they shouldn't have covered, but they did. We all know what happened.
An important touchdown to some.
But they shut out Vanderbilt in the second half, and at times it looked like Vanderbilt could move the ball pretty well against them, and they completely shut them down in the second half, and they left Diego yelling at fans. I want to see them go on the road, which has been their hiccup spot, and I want to see them, if they can win three games in a row like that, I'm back to where you and I were at the beginning of the year, which is we think Alabama's the best team in the SEC.
So I was surprised by this. I know we got more to hit on, but Alabama is -300 to make the playoff. That seems a little rich considering they're only a 3-point favorite this week at Missouri. They still have to play Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, and we've talked about it a while. The trip to Williams-Brice is a really challenging spot. That'll be their fourth straight game. The stretch going into the game at South Carolina will be Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee. So say what you will about South Carolina. I'm kind of the belief South Carolina's a little underrated now after they were massively overrated to start the year. I think that's a pretty tricky spot there. But I hope Alabama goes to Columbia and gets the win. Personally, I hope they win by 3 or less because I took a little early nibble on Missouri. But yeah. Back to your initial question, I think I'll give it to UCLA, but honorable mention, I'll give it to Miami and
Alabama. I also thought that the new Heisel video in the studio, like I was a sucker for that. Like I was trying to explain to my wife, I was like, UCLA fired this guy and he's crying. Like I was like, I get it's his son. Like I was trying to like explain to her all the context of UCLA with new Heisel and everything. I was like, that was a cool moment. My week 6 Heisman, I know he's not going to have the most gaudy receiver stats, but I just don't know how you could watch the Florida State-Miami game and not think that Malachi Toney was one of the best players in college football. 7 catches for 107, 2 touchdowns. He also had a 52-yard touchdown negated for a penalty. I don't know. To your point, he was on a field of fast people, and you go, God, that guy's fast.
The touchdown that he caught and just ran away from everybody when he was in the middle of the field. It's one thing to like catch a fly pattern and you've got like 2 steps on the corner. It's another to catch the ball what seemingly was in traffic and then just run away from everyone.
I mean, he's 17. He has braces.
Dude, when I saw him in the season opener against Notre Dame, I was like, that guy's different.
That doesn't look The 17-year-old receivers coming in and looking like NFL players is something that's new in this sport. All right, most heavy-handed.
I'll give you my Heisman real quick. So I think you could talk about Nico because he's just been so bad to start the year. I'm going to go a little off the radar, and I know their defense, I think you and I could throw a couple touchdowns against. A guy that Memphis will see on Thanksgiving, Blake Horvath. Have you seen his numbers?
So I was wondering if you were going to go with Heidenreich or Horvath.
Either one. Blake Horvath, the quarterback of Navy, threw for 339 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he ran for 130 yards. Eli Heidenreich, the wide receiver for Navy, had 8 catches for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. By the way, Air Force 5-0 to the over this year, and the over has hit by over 3 touchdowns per game.
Yeah, we had the under obviously as a principal play. It started with a 5. There was a universe where that game stayed under. They just decided to start taking shot plays. All right, most heavy-handed narrative. This one has been developing, I guess, since Theo Vaughn won the date. The Diego Pavia's mom's kind of hot. That seems to be on every broadcast now. That's been going pretty hard.
Is it factual?
She's an attractive middle-aged woman. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's I was talking with Topmeyer. We're like, never been a better time to be kind of like a mom in like late 40s, early 50s, and be pretty attractive. Like you'll get the Catherine Webb treatment. Hmm. Stock up. I'm monitoring this pit with the QB change because I do think
don't do it. Don't fall for the nard dope.
No. I know while BC might be on quit watch, that kid was different. I'm monitoring. Again.
Mason Heinsteckel. Is it Steckel?
Steckel is what they kept saying. He played at a Oregon, Ohio, and they showed his high school video. I appreciate the high school just leaning into it. They just have Oregon's jerseys.
Classic.
Yeah. And I also learned that there was an Oregon, Ohio. I learned that this weekend. I'm also
not aware of that.
I'm also thinking about Florida with Dallas Wilson as a possible stock up, but I'm not quite there yet. I think that they can go to College Station and get filleted this week.
I do too. I think that's a really tough spot for them. I watched this whole game, and I got to give them some credit. The Duke Blue Devils, I think they could be a thorn in the side of Georgia Tech in 2 weeks. They don't play this week. Duke can score, man. That team's got some offensive dudes.
So
and
I watched,
they went out to Cal, and they were down 21-7, and then they weren't down 21-7 and won by 24.
So I didn't know what to do with that game because, like you, I watched it. And I'm sitting there going, oh, has everybody figured out what works against JKS?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this Duke being what they were supposed to be billed as coming into the season, and now they're figuring it out?
Duke quietly 3-0 in the ACC, 4-2. And that's a pretty – if I'm getting Duke plus a number against Georgia Tech, which I imagine I will be, I'm going to take Duke in that spot. And maybe I'm going to get burned again with the Duke Blue Devils, but I think this is I think I'm going to monitor Duke here. I think they're a decent football team. Their next two games, Clemson and UConn and Virginia, their next three games. By the way, Virginia, post-game win expectancy of 10% in their
honestly,
win over Louisville.
Honestly, it's higher than I thought.
I had Louisville in a money line parlay. That was awesome. Super cool.
Oh, I hit my first ever eight-teamer.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed it after Vanderbilt.
You did not have Louisville.
I did not have Louisville. I did not have
Or the Arizona Cardinals, who I had in Survivor.
I did have them in a Sunday moneyline parlay, and I still want it to be ruled that the defensive back gave himself up. Just saying. Okay, I did not see anything that would qualify for the meanest play of the week, but I did have a saddest play of the week. Okay, so if you've got a meanest play of the week, go ahead.
Josh Hoover throwing a touchdown pass with 4th and 6.
I just think
Colorado.
That was playing the echo of the whistle. It's a 60-minute game. Honestly, my wife had gone to bed. I was like, the only thing that made up for Vanderbilt was like, I had no business covering that game.
I at halftime, so I was pretty angry midway through the day on Saturday. There was just the Louisville game really, really hit me hard. And I was watching the TCU Colorado game. And I just said to myself, TCU is winning this football game. So I laid 6.5 in the second half. So I was happy about that. But that touchdown pass with, 12 seconds to go in the back corner of the end zone?
I said
that was pretty
part rough. Of my logic on this was, though, Sonny Dykes is a grudge guy. And I knew if they got the ball and they had a chance, they were going to be going for it. All right, my saddest play of the week, while we were waiting for – was the I think while we were waiting for the Florida Texas game to go on, we had to still keep watching Clemson and North Carolina. I'd like to read to you from Stat Broadcast because I saw this. I was like, did he just do this? Belichick calls a timeout with 1 second left. One. The football was at the North Carolina 31 yard line. So they are at the minus 31. He calls timeout, down 38-10. Shotgun, Max Johnson, pass complete, short middle to Jake Johnson, his brother, caught at UNC 36 for 16 yards to UNC 47. Tackle made by Tyler Venables. He called a timeout to just like run a quick little slant. It was unbelievable. Okay, we'll get into more on Chapel Bill during the next segment. What did you get right this weekend?
Cincinnati.
Yep, we were there.
Cincinnati was a spot that I, as the week went on, that became my favorite bet of the weekend. So Cincinnati.
It got sweaty when they kept scoring touchdowns that were getting called back.
Believe you me, I was sitting there because I hate betting the early window. And I was sitting there going, "Art, really? Is this is gonna happen? This is how it's gonna be? Like we're up 31-7, and we're not gonna win this game." So Cincinnati held on and made it a little sweatier. And I had Florida. So Sunbelt Billy let me down. The previous two times I backed them, against LSU, which I think we should have got there, but DJ decided to throw five picks. Miami never really should have got there, and then had him against Texas. So those would be the two that I got right.
Yeah, I was with you on Cincinnati. That was awful. I did decide. I put a line in the sand with Clemson. I said, all right, I'm going to do it one more time. And if you can't do it against North Carolina, never again. And it was nice to know, like, about 7 seconds into the game that one was going to be fine. I had your voice in my head the whole week on Florida State. And I finally just got down to it, and I was like, I watched what Virginia was able to do to Florida State's offensive line. I was like, I'm...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come! Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.